Blog Talk Radio.
This one.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. And you will also come to see where we can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, it is indeed my honor to welcome back Mary Blake. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about her amazing background. It all started with an errant bolt of lightning out of a clear blue southern Illinois sky, which awakened her dormant healing ability. 3 weeks later, the shocked 15-year-old heard herself offering to give someone a massage. Life would never be the same. Strangers began unburdening their innermost secrets to her, only to exclaim, "Why am I telling you this? I never even told my best friend about it." After years of denying her natural talents, she arrived in New York City to open an antique and jewelry concession in the World's Fair. Still in denial of her natural talents, Mary fell in love with Manhattan. Its energy and culture provided the stimulus she needed to prepare for her life's work. At an Association of Humanistic Psychology conference, she met other healers for the first time. A spontaneous healing of lung cancer compelled her to finally accept her own gifts. In gratitude, she committed the rest of her life to healing. Extensive studies with leaders in the field here and abroad enhanced and multiplied her natural talent. She's an empath, a spiritual coach, a healing energy channel, and she's worked with celebrities, business executives, artists, ambassadors, and just people, quote unquote. In her spiritual development and self-mastery classes, she works as a catalyst to unleash and develop the latent talents of others. Mary is convinced that paranormal and extrasensory perception are mankind's birthright that civilization has repressed and denied. Mary considers multi-life therapy her greatest achievement. Her book, it's a marvelous read. I've read it and I would highly endorse it. It's called Journals of a Healer. It tells the story of its beginning, that is her multi-life therapy, and the excitement, the drama, and the freedom it offers. Everything in that book happened to real people. And that book is available on Amazon.com. And Mary is in the studio, and it's my pleasure to introduce her to you. Welcome, Mary. How are you tonight?
I'm fantastic, and it's a pleasure to hear you describe me in such glowing terms. Thank you so much.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you and to welcome you back. I would like to start off, and of course we're going to talk about your book, we're going to talk about your radio show, and we're going to talk about multi-life therapy. And to the callers on the line, we'll try to get to as many of you as we can, but there are a lot of callers tonight, and I cannot promise that we'll get to you all. I will call on the people that I spoke to individually before the show, and beyond that, we will see. It depends on how time plays out and how spirit moves Mary. I want to defer to you, Mary. So what I wanted to ask you about are the latent psychic abilities that you say that civilization has repressed and that are mankind's birthright. Would you elaborate on that? I'm very interested.
Well, most people refer to them as extra sensory perceptions, but I feel that they are our true sensory perceptions. And for example, when we feel someone's feelings, and that's empathy. And of course there is all kinds of ways for telekinesis, teleportation, all of these so-called extrasensory perceptions are just simply things that we have been told our imagination, we are just making things up. When we have clairaudience, so we hear things that other people don't hear. Clairvoyance, we see other beings. And many times when we're a child, like for example, a child can say to her mother, "Grandma's standing behind the chair over there." And the mother will say, "You stop lying that like that. You know that your grandmother is in heaven with Jesus. So stop
right.
that. Stop talking. Stop telling lies like that. Stop making things up." And the little child doesn't know what to think. It doesn't know what they did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And am I really making this up? I mean, and I don't want to upset Mama, so I'm not going to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you can shut it off.
We repress it then.
Absolutely. Mm. Other people repress it. Other people cause us to doubt ourselves.
Yes, and that's true in so many ways, too.
Yeah. Mm. Society does that.
What can we do to open that again? What kinds of exercises or practices can we use to try to open up our potential that was stifled in childhood?
Well, of course, meditation is wonderful, but the very best that I have come across is to work with someone who is open and who is accepting and willing to work with you and to encourage you and to strengthen your abilities, because once you are around and you have experienced such energy,
mm-hmm.
then it's much easier for you to relax and let it happen.
Yes.
There are many different circles where people sit together and allow the energy to flow, and that is a wonderful way to begin. But again, once again, you have to avoid, I would say, anybody with a neon sign that claims that they are psychic. Some of us get in the thrall of these so-called fortune tellers, and they will tell you, that there was a curse against you, and it's going to cost you $2,000 or something to get rid of this horrible curse, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
for the
that,
yeah, go ahead, then. I'm sorry.
So that's what you want to avoid. But when someone that you trust is working with one of these the legitimate people, and of course, David, you have so many on
mm-hmm.
your show.
Yes.
I'm sure from time to time you might be able to even to recommend someone if some of your listeners would tell you where they're located from, and you must get someone that you trust.
Absolutely.
Because there are all kinds of scam artists, you know, so you do have to be careful.
Well, I think that's a very important point. I mean, If you're looking for any kind of professional services, and bona fide psychics are professionals who have worked their gifts. And Mary, why don't you toot your own horn a little bit and talk about some of the training that you've had, in addition to the fact that you were just opened wide up as a young girl. You've gone on to study, and you have three divinity degrees in addition. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Okay. Well, to begin with, yoga was a very important portal for me, because yoga is sort of like fine-tuning a car. You know, when your car is not performing up to standard, you go get it tuned up, and then everything works better. And this happens with our own abilities too. And that was the first thing. Of course, I started reading tons of things, and I read about other people with psychic ability, and I was like, isn't that amazing? Thinking that I didn't have any, because I was in total denial of my own healing gifts and my own counseling, my channeling, because I am a channel. And I would just, things would pop out of my mouth, and I would kind of sometimes be a little embarrassed that I had said something that I didn't expect to say. But that was the channeling. That was spirit working through me. And I didn't even know it. And spirit is so forgiving and so loving that they even when you're denying them, they're saying, okay, that's all right. We have all the time imaginable. We will be here when you're ready. Mm-hmm. So when I became aware that I had just been healed in almost an instant from lung cancer, and I realized suddenly, I understood that I had been given these gifts and I had been denying them. And so it was payback time. When you've received a tremendous healing, there's nothing that you can do except pay back.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So I committed myself, and having been a former intellectual snob, it was important to me to realize that when God gives you a gift, it's up to you to study and to practice and to perfect that gift. Because if God gives you a wonderful voice, you're not going to wind up on the stage of the Metropolitan Opera unless you study, unless you practice, unless you perfect that gift that God has given you. And that applies in everything.
Well, that's beautiful. And that's so true. And as to your comment about people that I could put folks in touch with if they want to work on their own potential, it's true. All you need to do is look at the roster of my guests. I try to post shows at least a couple of weeks in advance. But in addition to Mary, who's been on my show a couple of times before, I have several spiritually gifted people. I have psychic mediums, angel readers, astrologers, and the like, healers, seers, that appear on my show on a regular basis. And so all you need to do is take a look at blogtalkradio.com/author David Clark, spelled with an E, and you can find out what my upcoming episodes are. And you can call in, because these individuals are very open and they are very willing to work with you personally if you so choose. And many of them do give free readings on the air, which is a real gift to you that I encourage people to not take for granted, because everything in this life has a value. And if you are going to make use of somebody's services, it's only fair that you pay for them. And when you get a reading on the show, it's short and sweet. But to deal with somebody like Mary, who has dedicated her life to healing and who has done a lot of studying, and she's being very modest because I've seen her resume, and it is very extensive. It's 2 pages long, single-spaced, of all the studies she's done. So at any rate, Mary, perhaps you don't need to elaborate more, but the point is, folks, that if you really are serious about pursuing your potential or getting a good reading, then support your gifted people. And Mary does something called multi-life therapy, and I'd like to ask you to describe that for people that would be interested in that. And also, I'm going to ask you at a later point, so people have your pens handy, I'm going to ask you to let people know how they can get in touch with you, Mary.
Okay.
So please.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. You can reach me through, the email is spiritualdiscovery@verizon.net. And I am on Facebook under The Mary Blake. I got tired of being one of 5,000 Mary Blakes, and I decided that I would become The Mary Blake so that
Why
people
not?
Could just find me.
Right.
Instead of
right.
wandering around with many other Mary Blakes. So I have a common name, but it is important to be an uncommon source for people who need something special.
Right.
As for the multi-life therapy, I did not study with any institute as I have studied with other things, like, for example, the Blanton Peale Institute or the Association of Spirit of Humanistic Psychologies, which I was a member of for about 10 years. And in England, I studied there. But in the multi-life therapy, I'm 100% spirit-taught. And if you would like to make an analogy, it's a bit like teaching somebody to swim by throwing them into the water. And that's exactly what spirit did with me.
I know.
And I was so shocked, but I was teaching a healing class. And I had to put my students first, and had to put the person that spontaneously went into another lifetime, even though at that time I didn't believe in it. I thought it was a scam. But when it happens right in front of you, there's nothing you can do but believe it. I didn't believe it, but it's happening. So therefore, it's got to be. It's because things that are not real can't happen. So it had to be real because there it was happening.
Right.
So, I did, at the time, I was so shaken and so panicky and so ill-prepared that the only thing that was possible available to me was to scream for help. And I couldn't do it while my students could hear me, because that would really scare them. So I screamed for help inside my head. And within a few seconds, it was as if this warm, wonderful, brilliant, loving, caring, very wise being was just sort of putting me on like a glove. I just felt this energy and this peace and this confidence flowing through me, and my mouth began to open and say things. And I was sort of floating to one side there, and my hands were moving and doing things and soothing this person who was suddenly thrown into an early 17th century colonial America, and she was dying of childbirth. And she was a medical student, and so she was describing it in clinical terms. And I heard my mouth say, "No, how are you feeling?" And she said, "Oh." And then she began to tell how she was feeling, which she was very angry. Mm. And the reason she was angry was because here she was, bleeding to death, having her husband's baby, and he was nowhere to be seen.
Mm.
So there's nothing that can make a woman more angry than for her husband not to show up when she's having his baby.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. So I began to wonder, where is this man? And the next thing I know, I was flying through the air. And I thought, that's very strange. I've never done that when I was awake before, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so I looked down, and I had sort of swooped downward, and I looked down below me, and there was a dense forest and a little tiny trail going through it, and I saw what looked like a bloody rag doll. And I zipped right back into the space where I was teaching. And my mouth said, "Your husband is not ignoring you. He's not playing around. He's not out having fun with the boys. He was waylaid by a couple of Indians." And how I knew that, of course, I didn't know that. Spirit knew that, and Spirit was working right through me.
Right.
And she says, "Yeah, oh, sure, of course, yeah." Uh-huh. She was not believing it. And so Spirit, through me, said, "Well, if you don't believe it, go and look for yourself." "Well, how can I do that?" she says. And my mouth, and I'm shocked at listening that this is coming out of me, says, "It's no problem. Just float out of your body. Just float up to the ceiling, then float on through to the roof, and then ask to be taken to your husband. You know his name. You know his energy. You'll know when you get there." And it got very quiet, and everybody in the room was holding their breath. And soon she said, "Okay. I'm ready to go."
Mm.
And somebody said, "Go where? Go see your husband?" She said, "No, I am ready to go."
Mm.
And everybody knew, without knowing how they knew it, that she meant she was ready to die and just go on to her spirit, next spirit life.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mouth is telling, Spirit through my mouth is saying, "Wonderful, all you have to do is float out of your body just as you did before."
Mm-hmm.
"And just when you get through the roof, just keep going. Keep going to the very end of Earth's atmosphere, past the clouds, and you will see this very fine, thin rainbow edge to the atmosphere. And if you will look out into the very deep darkness of space, you will see some beautiful lights. And those are the spirit beings that are coming to escort you to the place where you belong now, to the most wonderful place you can be."
Mm-hmm.
And again, everybody was holding their breath. And after about 2 minutes, she sat up and she started describing the whole thing that she, from the inside, from the way that she had seen it as a participant.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was fascinated. We knew, all of us knew, that this was a once-in-a-lifetime event that nobody had ever been to before and nobody would ever see again. And the next week it happened again with another student. And the next week it happened again with two students. And I was totally convinced that it had to be the energy of the class. It couldn't be me.
Mm.
Who are
these
people?
And you were wrong.
Who are these people? How have they found me? And how did they know to get together? They didn't even know each other before. How can this be happening? And then, of course, one of the students happened to be a psychologist, and he worked for the New York Board of Mental Health. And he invited me to have coffee or tea after the class. And he said, "Mary, I really want to do this, but I can't do it in public because if it would ever got around, I would lose my job." So he said, "Could we do it privately?" And I said, "Honestly, I don't know. If we try it privately, I don't know if anything will happen. It might be a total failure." And he said, "Well, I'm willing to risk failure if you are, so let's do it." So we set a time, and when it happened, it simply happened. And I was as amazed as anyone could possibly be at a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the very first time that I understood that I had dedicated myself as an instrument of divine purpose, but I had no idea that I would be reused for this purpose. So what happened was that a whole lifetime of pain that this young woman had suffered in her monthly periods that she had suddenly it vanished. And a fear and an anger, a resentment of older men vanished as if it had never happened to her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so going through and forgiving the husband that she died being so angry at her husband, who evidently was much older than she. And she transferred it in this lifetime to a resentment and an anger at older men, every older man that had never done anything to her.
Right.
So that forgiveness broke that pattern.
Well,
and
I think that's
being,
a key.
Yeah, and being the student that I am, I must study and I must understand things. I meditated and I asked Spirit to please explain to me. Let me understand what's going on. And then it came to me and it became extremely clear that we come into this lifetime, and Spirit has explained this to me, as we bring forward into our adulthood unremembered traumas from our childhood, we also bring forward into this lifetime traumas from other lifetimes, and they affect our daily lives. And most of you who are listening, I'm sure you can think of little things that have happened to you, and you say to, "Why does this always happen when I meet this kind of person or I'm in this kind of an experience? And why does it always happen over and over and over? And I tell myself I won't do this again, and then it happens."
Right.
And these are the kinds of things they are triggers that are from other lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And as Spirit worked with me and taught me, By working through me, I began to understand that we can go into other lifetimes and literally rewrite history and erase karma.
Yes.
So this is, to me, it's every time I take someone into another lifetime. And we never know where we're going to go because we put it into the hands, the choices made by the whole self. I think of the whole self as the combined wisdom and compassion of all our lifetimes.
Beautiful.
And it's sort of like the ocean, and this lifetime is like a wave that comes up on shore. And if you've ever noticed a wave, it stirs things up on the shore, and it picks up things and takes it back into the ocean. And I believe that it's a wonderful analogy of a little part of our soul coming in and bonding with a human body, and using that human body and stirring things up around that human body and picking up knowledge and experiences and taking it back into the whole self, like the wave takes back into the ocean.
Well, I will say this to the listeners. I have done multi-life therapy with Mary, and I don't know if it was the first time she did it, but she did it with me over the telephone, and it was very effective. And she did rewrite history in one of my past lifetimes that had a profound effect upon my current lifetime. And just briefly to share what it was that I have been seemingly burdened in this life by something that people refer to as sexual addiction. And I did 12-step programs for it and had some measure of success, and then I would relapse and relapse and relapse. And what she did was I went to a lifetime where I had become a prostitute. And the reason that happened was because I had been viciously raped by a stranger. And then what had happened after that...
And then rejected by your society.
Because of having been raped.
Mm-hmm.
I was rejected by society, by family, by the town. They blamed me. And what could I do? I was a young woman. I was 16 or 17 years old. I went to London, and I sold my body. And I lived a life of degradation. And I did that in this lifetime. I didn't prostitute myself, but I was in this vast arena of reenacting shame over and over again. And Mary rewrote that history by taking me back to a point before the rape occurred, and Spirit commanded me to go a different way. And I did, and I escaped the assailant. And the beautiful thing that happened was I had a blessedly so-called normal life, and I had children and grandchildren, and they were present when I died, and I died. I passed from that life, and I experienced that as well. So, Mary, you can do this over the telephone, yes?
Yes, I can. And may I gently correct you in one thing?
Sure.
You did not die. There's no
such
thing.
Oh, I didn't. I've forgotten that.
You were reborn into your spirit life.
I understand that. Yes. Yes. Thank you for the correction.
Yeah.
That's very important.
It really is important, because the one thing that every single person I've ever worked with can come out with, in addition to their other gifts, is that they say, I will never be afraid of death again, because I have experienced the rebirth into a spirit life that is so easy, the easiest thing I ever did.
Yes.
And the most beautiful.
Yes. Well, thank you for that, because I truly have experienced release from lifetimes before. I now know of about 24 of my previous lifetimes, and I've experienced the release through doing regression work, if you will, and a lot of it has just come to me independently, which has been beautiful. Mary really was instrumental in opening me up to the potential of revisiting past lives and coming to better understand what my current life challenges have been all about. And I strongly advocate utilizing this technique, because I have been through years of psychotherapy, psychiatry, blah, 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 blah. And yes, it's made some impact, but there's nothing that has accelerated my development as much as getting in touch with and overcoming so-called negative karma from past lives, or erasing it, as Mary said. And what happened to me in this life is that I snapped out of the addiction. I did have some problem with relapse after that, but I'm free of it now, totally free, totally healed. And so that's why I say some people call it an addiction. I believe it's a symptom of a deeper distress. But we're not here to talk about me. I just wanted to testify to my experience. And once more, Mary, would you please tell the listeners who may have tuned in how they can get in touch with you, and then we'll talk about your book.
Oh, absolutely. They can reach me. At this moment, I'm sorry, my website is undergoing a drastic reconstruction, but they can reach me through spiritualdiscovery@verizon.net. And they could also reach me at mary@themaryblake.com. So
thank you. Okay, and the Mary Blake on Facebook is another way you can reach her, as she's indicated.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So you've written a book called Journals of a Healer, which is also the name of your radio show, yes?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about the book, and you've revealed some of the story that's in the book. What
actually,
would you like?
Mostly of the first chapter.
yes, right. But what would you like to share about the book before we go to the call lines and also talk a little bit about your radio show?
Well, what I would like to, I'd like to share about it is that that there are there are a number of. Some people call them case histories, but I like to, I think of it, it's narrative nonfiction, and it is a description of a number of my clients have given permission for me to reveal the experiences that they had when they went into another lifetime. And I do like to call it other lifetimes instead of past, because when you think of something that's past, it's hard to imagine that you can change it. It's past, it's over.
Right.
But if you do think of all lifetimes, all time is happening at once. My spirit guide, Stardust, always says there's only one time, and it's now. So we go into another now, and that's our now, and that is exactly what's happening at that time. You just go to another place, and so there are descriptions of many times of how they were when they came in, and how they were changed when they went out in about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Well, I think that's a very important point you made, because time as we perceive it is an illusion. Past, present, and future are all happening at once. And even in our current lives, you know, to reflect upon our past is really pointless unless it brings us joy, because it cannot, our current life as we know it cannot be rewritten unless we change karmic debts from by virtue of making amends to people in this life, or erasing past so-called past life karma. And the only reason I use that term is because a lot of people are caught up in past, present, and future, when all we're dealing with is the eternal now.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
So that the most important thing is what you do with what you learn. For you, David, did great things with what you learned. If you talk yourself out of it and say, well, that was nice, but it felt very nice while it was going on, but it's not happening now, and I'm still the same me. But you can literally talk yourself out of things as you can talk yourself into things.
Oh, yeah.
And you will always run into people who will say, oh, my gosh, did you fall for that, you know. And people will try their best to talk you out of miraculous things that you have experienced. And it's so important for you to hold fast to what you know is true. And in so many different ways, your life will be enriched because Spirit is ready to work with you if you will work with Spirit. And you need to open and you need to trust. And when I finally surrendered, and it was a tremendous surrender, I made a deal with God. And I told God, I'm in debt now. I must pay back, but let me do it my way. I do not ever want to do anything with other people that will make them feel foolish. Some people, like in hypnosis and things like that, they will make people do ridiculous things. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I will never do that, and please keep me away from any spirit except the most giving, loving, wisest spirits who are ready and willing to work with us on earth and to help us to complete the task that we came here to do.
Beautiful.
That was my deal with God, and it has been honored. If you make a deal with God, it is kept.
Well, that sounds like a commitment there. And I think that a lot of people don't take commitment seriously enough, whether it's with other people or with God. And promises are meant to be written in stone. And that's not to say that you can't change your mind about things as you develop more understanding as you go along life's merry way, hopefully merry way. But
yes.
I really respect you for how you made that deal with God, and you're a woman of integrity, as I well know. And you know, it's wonderful to hear you talk about that. And
thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Now, Mary's book is Journals of a Healer, and it's available on Amazon.com. It's probably the best place to find it, wouldn't you say, Mary?
Yes, I would. And let's tell them the subtitle, which is A Personal Account of Ventures Beyond Time, Space, and So-Called Reality.
Uh-huh. And getting back to the multi-life therapy, is it necessary for a person to do it more than one time?
It is not necessary, but it is usually advisable because we have, all of us, lived so many lifetimes. And no doubt there are traumas in every lifetime that you live. I mean, you cannot get out of a life on Earth without experiencing trauma. This is the plane of imperfection. And may I just quote Stardust again? She says that the pain, the trauma, the obstacles, the resistance that we encounter here on Earth are our spiritual barbells, that we come here to work against resistance. And
well,
thereby grow.
Yes, yes. Wonderful. I have another question, if you could pose it to Stardust, who is one of Mary's spirit guides. I'm wondering if it is important to acknowledge those so-called traumas or challenges or the resistance as gifts, if that's an important thing to do.
Well, I would say that the best thing to do is to celebrate and respect and appreciate the things that you learn from them. Just like you go to a gym and you do things that you really don't want to do, and they are exhausting and they hurt sometimes, but when you come out of that gym, you will see your body changing, and you will appreciate the muscles, you will appreciate the energy, you will appreciate the new added resistance and power that you have earned by going through those rather unpleasant exercises.
Gotcha. Well, that makes total sense to me, because life is a series of lessons to be learned, and one never stops learning if one is open to it. And if you do not learn the lesson the first time, it will present itself time and time again, and sometimes in even more challenging or difficult form. So that's just a word to the wise to learn your lessons well if you want to advance and move on. Wouldn't you say?
Well, I would say many of these lessons are painful, and who wants to go through pain for nothing? If you don't if you do not learn from the experience, you've gone through the pain for nothing, and that's no fun.
That's right, right. Well, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for that. Shall we take some calls?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to go to Rose. And I'm trying to bring her up. There you are, Rose. Say hello to Mary.
Thank you. What an interesting conversation. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, Mary.
What's on your mind?
I wanted to know about my love life and about work. I don't know, whatever you can pick up. I'm not working and I'm single.
Well, Rose, One of the things that I do try to avoid is to get between people. What I would like to say to you is be more discriminating. Pay a little more attention before you get involved. Make sure that the person that you are you've got your eye on has the qualities that you most respect their faults are the ones that are the easiest for you to live with.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody has faults, and you just kind of hope that they feel the same way about you. When you respect yourself more, and you realize that you have wonderful gifts and a wonderful combination of virtues and talents and aspects of your whole self that nobody in the universe that has ever lived before and ever will live again have. You are unique. And you want to attract someone who will truly appreciate your value and the wonderful things that you bring to a relationship. And then you want to look and feel that this is going to be mutual. so many times women, they feel they're so happy to they've been looking for someone, they've been waiting for Prince Charming to come along, and when someone who looks as if they might be Prince Charming comes along, what we do is we overgive and we extend ourselves to the point that nobody could do that for a lifetime. So kind of weigh and balance and say, do I want to do this for 40 years? You know? And don't just go all out and just knock yourself out trying to please this person. You need to be yourself, your best self, of course. And then when you're not feeling your best self, well, so what? If they can't handle it, they can't handle it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So have I said things that resonate with you that you go, oh, yeah, I did that. I caught myself doing that, you know?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to ask?
I wanted to know if you see me working soon.
How do you feel about yourself as a prospective employee?
I'm confident of my abilities.
Great. If you think of yourself as a gift to the person, you say, oh, my goodness, I'm exactly what you've been waiting for. I know it. And feel that in yourself. This guy would be so lucky to have me. This company would be so lucky to have me because I can do what they want. And it will start exuding from you. They will feel it, and they will respond to that. Do you see what I'm saying to you?
Yeah. Okay.
Don't go into an interview thinking, oh, my goodness, I hope they pick me. I hope they pick me. Go in saying, I am exactly what they want. They ask you can do this, no problem. Mm-hmm. And then ask them, find out a little bit about their company first and ask them a couple of questions about them, about their company and say, I really like this. I'd love to work with this company because of blah, blah, blah. You see, so do a little homework when you about the company so that you will be prepared to be just what they want.
All right.
And
thank you.
Go
guys.
In there confident. You need a little bit more confidence, my sweetheart.
Mm. And
okay.
You know what? It sounds like it all boils down to common sense, too. I loved what you were saying, Mary, about being true to yourself, because so many of us try to make ourselves into the image of what we think the other person wants. And when we're true mm-hmm. to ourselves, and we believe in ourselves, and this is where I see the work needs to be done. Correct me if you think I'm wrong. When we do the work on ourselves, it pays off in spades because what we put out, we receive. And
yes.
We attract that which we put out. And if we're in a positive place, we're going to attract positive results. And so, you know, it's not necessarily a matter of forecasting anything. It's all up to the individual to take responsibility for their own well-being and for the unfoldment of their lives.
That's true.
Okay, just remember, you don't have to kill yourself to get a boyfriend or a lover or a husband.
Mm-hmm.
You need to focus on how you make them feel and how they make you feel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
You're Rose, welcome. Thank you so much. God bless you.
David.
Okay, have a beautiful night.
Same to you.
Okay. So the next caller is Diana. Whoops. I guess we'll come to you in a moment, Diana. Excuse me. I'm talking to Kathy right now, and I will get to you, Diana. Please say hello to Mary.
Hi. How are you, Mary?
Hi. I'm fantastic. How about you?
Pretty good. I would like to know if you could just tell me why I'm not moving on my spiritual journey.
I think you're listening to too many critics. I think you are trying too hard. And one of the things that happens is when you try too hard, it doesn't work as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know any people who are involved in spiritual practice?
I've been looking around here locally, and I do Reiki, but I don't really practice it.
Okay.
I mean, we have Reiki on the first Monday of the month, but it's kind of hard for me to go because I get up so early on Tuesday, you know, to go to work.
Okay. You're on the internet, on the computer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are a number of programs that might be helpful to you. Let me just look up. I'll give you a couple of them.
I read a lot of books, and I do see people are always having classes. But by the time I get home from work, it's like 7 o'clock, and you know, I really don't want to be on the computer again or listen to somebody in the evening.
Well, this is something that I would suggest to you, because there are some of these people. They have absolutely wonderful spiritual teachers. And you can listen to it anytime, you know, and when they have a replay, you can listen to them. And sometimes if you just don't have time to reach out and to go, it's sometimes better than getting dressed and going out to a meeting, if you can just do it in your own home and you can just listen. If you don't have to look at the computer, just listen to it.
Right.
It's like an MP3, you know.
I know.
And you can also listen to some of David's shows, and you will begin to just open yourself up to the energy.
Right.
See.
I read a lot of books, too.
Uh-huh, yeah. That's the way I started out, but nothing happened from my reading.
Uh-huh.
Nothing really opened up and happened until I began spending time with other people. One of the first things that I studied was psycho-cybernetics. And then I met Maxwell Maltz personally, and you know, he was a plastic surgeon who learned the hard way that he was not God. He thought he was God. He was New Faces, New Futures was his book, and then he suddenly there was this woman who said, I know that you tell me that you removed that bump on my nose, and you've even got doctored up pictures to prove it, but it's there and I know it, and it wasn't there. And so he started studying psychology, and he hated psychology because he felt like it made man into a machine. And then he met oh dear, I forget his name right now. He was the fellow, the mathematician who set up the the original concept of the computer. But he met him, and he realized that man is not a machine. Man has a machine, and the machine is the subconscious, and the subconscious can be trained. And so that was one of the first things that I did study, and several other people that I had seriously studied with. I studied for a couple of years with Alexander Murray, who was a very famous channel here in New York City. And because I went to England and spent a lot of time at the Spiritualist Association of Great Britain and the Spiritualist Churches and in the Metaphysical Society
wondering if it's something from a past life also that is blocking or stopping me.
How do you feel when you have some kind of an experience that cannot be explained?
Like for instance, when I see the 3-digit numbers.
Okay.
Like that.
How do you feel about that?
I feel like spirit is working with me, or the angels, or my guides, or they're just giving me messages that way.
Okay. Then do you speak to them and ask? You see, so many times we don't ask the right questions.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Have you ever asked spirit, what are you trying to tell me?
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean? How can I use this?
I usually look up the number, and like if I think 555 means, you know, keep going, you're doing well.
So what you are doing is you are shutting the door on spirit and relying on something that you can read.
Uh-huh.
If spirit is there and the three numbers are sitting there, those three numbers can mean many, many different things based upon the situation and the condition and what is going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to speak to spirit.
Okay.
Ask the questions and kind of wait, and the answers come in strange ways. You need to pay attention to everything that's happening to you. After you ask the questions, how are you feeling? Are you comfortable? Are you happy? Are you excited? Are you worried? Are you a little concerned about what's going on in your life right now? All of these things are teachers. They're messages.
Okay.
So as you go, it's a question of trust.
Right.
You need to trust, and you need to let go of what you think you know.
Okay. That's
a good
one.
That's
love
a good
it.
One.
You gotcha.
I like that one.
Gotcha.
So in other words, I don't know anything.
That's a good place to start.
Yeah.
No.
Teach me. I want to learn. Help. Give me whatever you think I should have.
Right. I'm going to start asking them that.
Good. Good.
Give the
That's
answers.
Perfect. Okay.
You can ask. You can ask for the sun and the moon and the stars. Yes, Mary.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, and you know, sometimes the answer will come from a conversation that is going on behind you from two
mm-hmm.
people that you don't even know.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And the words you need to hear will pop, and you will, you feel that, and you feel it vibrating through you. You
mm-hmm.
feel the way your body begins to change. Maybe you're relaxing. Maybe you're a little energetic. Maybe all of a sudden the sun is shining brighter. And just become more childlike.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, I give people an example. I ask them to, you know, Jesus once said, in order to enter heaven, you must be as a little child.
Right.
And I meditated and I asked, explain to me, in what way do we need to be as a little child in order to enter heaven? And I got it. And I tell people sometimes that I feel are a little too much in their head.
Mm-hmm.
I say, look, what did Jesus mean by being like a little child? I say, okay, suppose you come charging in and you say to someone that you care about, come quick, I want to show you something. What is an adult going to say? Well, where are we going? How long are we going to be there?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Should I change my clothes? Should I do this? Should I do that? How long is it going to be? You know, well.
Why are you taking me there?
Yeah.
What do you want
to show me?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And if you were going to show them a rainbow, the rainbow would be gone by the time that you got them out of the house to see that rainbow. But if you said the same thing to a child, the child would drop everything and say, okay, I'm ready.
So be more playful.
More ready to accept whatever you're offering.
Okay.
That's wonderful advice.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I know it.
I love it.
I'm going to listen to this again.
Okay.
You can do that.
Thank
and
you.
By the way, folks, if you
Thank
want
you,
to listen to these podcasts, you can listen either on Blog Talk Radio or you can go to freespiritbroadcasting.com, where Mary also is listed as one of the radio show hosts, and her shows may not be live yet, but they will be soon, and she has a wonderful radio show. And Mary, why don't you tell Kathy and the other listeners, and then we'll move on, when people can find your show and what it's about.
Okay. Well, my show is about some of the things I've already said, you know, that I feel that each and every one of us has come here to this planet with great gifts and talents to give this earth. And by the time we get potty trained and housebroken and brainwashed into being told what we can do and what we can't do and what we have to do and what we mustn't do, We usually lose track of what we came here to do. And for many of us, it takes half a lifetime or sometimes even longer to get back to that original passion. I mean, for example, Grandma Moses didn't start painting until she was 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So many people will start a completely different career in their 50s or in their 60s or even in their 70s. And that usually that career is not what their parents wished they would do. It's not what their friends thought was cool. It's not what the the guidance counselor said, now, there are, right now, this country is very desperate in need of engineers. So I suggested you study engineering. Well, maybe you wanted to be a saxophone player.
Right.
Or an artist.
Right.
Or a gourmet cook. You know?
And it's never too late.
And many, many people become terribly successful and terribly rich at doing something that they hate, and they spend three quarters of the money that they make on the psychiatrist's couch because they're unhappy. Their soul is not fulfilled. So my show is entitled, it's Journals of a Healer Brings You Unleash Your Hidden Genius.
Beautiful.
Okay.
And when can we find the show?
Well, it's on Sundays at 7:30. And it is you can dial in at 713-955-0775.
Well, thank you.
And you can also, it is archived at blogtalkradio.com/Mary Blake.
That would be blogtalkradio.com.
Oh, blogtalk.com. I'm sorry, slash radio. You know, I'm right-brained right now. I'm in my other consciousness.
That's why I'm here.
That's right.
Well, thank
Mary,
you, Kim.
Thank you so much for the great information.
God bless. And I'm
okay,
going to
welcome.
Let the, before we go on to Diana, I'm going to let the callers know some of the upcoming shows that you might be interested in. If you've been interested in this show, I would suggest tuning in on the 15th for Corby Mitlide. She is a psychic medium, and she will do readings. I have an angel reader on October 18th, Diana McClintock. And then I have Athena Starr, who is a mystic visionary, on October 29th. And on Halloween, I have a special edition show with a brilliant psychic medium from Australia by the name of Kat Edwards. So all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/authordavidclark with an E, and you will see the shows. So let's move on to Diana, and thank you for your patience. And Mary, how's your energy holding up?
Just fine.
Beautiful.
It's not my energy anyway. It's just pouring through.
I hear you. Diana, you're live on the air with David Clark and Mary Blake. How are you?
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Oh,
wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah. What's on your mind, Diana?
Okay, so I'm in vet school, and I keep failing classes. I study really, really, really hard, and, you know, I just keep going on a downhill. I don't know why. I try my best. I try my hardest. It's actually given me doubt to even continue on.
You're in med
but
school,
but I know I'm
saying.
Supposed to do this. Veterinary school. Veterinary
vet
medical school.
School. Yes. Okay. How do you feel when you're with animals?
Oh, my God. They're great. They come to me. I know when they're coming. Like I'm great with animals.
I suspect you do not need to become a veterinarian.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
I think what you really need to do is to sharpen your psychic ability. tune in. Tune in to how dogs are feeling, how cats are feeling, how horses and whatever. You know, we now have horse whisperers and things like that, you know.
Yes.
I believe your talent lies not in surgery or anything like that. I think your talent is much more involving with how animals are feeling, and they have problems too, you know.
We've just lost Diana.
Oh, really?
So, yes.
Okay.
I don't know what happened. Sometimes the studio disconnects, and if she calls back or listens to the podcast.
Well, if she can hear, I think that it is important for her to develop her true gifts of empathy with animals and would be much more of service with animals and their owners.
Mm-hmm.
If she really was able to apply her true gifts, because what she has is very special.
Yes, and I think that's an important point to make for all of us with regards to our passions. If we honor ourselves and what our bliss is and what our passions are, that's where our real gifts will start to unfold.
Absolutely.
True life purposes will be revealed. I just want to put in a little bit of a commercial, if you will, and that is, if there's anybody that's interested in doing a radio show, we would be more than happy to have you on freespiritbroadcasting.com, and I can give you the phone number of my producer, who's my husband, Rob. And you can contact him, and he could let you know what you might like to do. If that's something you've ever considered doing, you can call area code 315-399-5862 and become a member of freespiritbroadcasting.com. And we are running a special until the end of the year for life, very nominal fee. So keep that in mind. Would you like to take another caller, Mary?
Yes, I would like to say one more thing, because I think that Diana, if she's not still listening in right now, she can listen to the rebroadcast. I think that she knew in advance, as many people know the answer they're going to get. They're not surprised by the answer they're going to get. And
right.
And when you say it's common sense, well, a spirit can be very, very practical.
I must say. Wouldn't you say that applies to all spiritual truths, that they are very practical, they're very simple, they're very common sense?
Yes, and the more complicated and the more gimmicky things are, the less real they are.
Yes, I think that's a very important point, because you talked about being in your right brain, which is a wonderful place to be when you want. It's the only place to be when you want to align with spirit, and a lot of people may not know what that means. So if you would like to briefly explain that, we'll take one more blessed caller. And my apologies to the others. If you want to get on the air, you need to call in before 7:30, and you may not have known that, and that's okay, but, you know, first come, first serve.
Okay, and if anyone wants to email me, we can set up appointments, and I do try to keep them as reasonable as possible. So I would be happy to work with anyone who would call me. The important thing is that that we be open again.
Mm-hmm.
Be open and don't try to talk yourself out of things that you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And I guess it goes without saying that we don't want to analyze, because then we're going into our left and shutting it down.
Absolutely. The left brain is the one with the thinker.
Yes.
The one that does the math and that does and reads the maps and figures out what's going to happen next and all of those left brain kind of things. The right brain is the feeling, intuitive, the aware brain that suddenly, when you walk into a room and there are people on the opposite side of the room, and you know perfectly well that before you walked down the hall and they heard your footsteps, they were either holding each other or hugging each other or having an argument or whatever, and you know that, and you know it's what you know, and you cannot prove it.
Mm.
When the left brain is all involved with beliefs, I believe this, and this is how I will prove it that this is right. You always have to prove a belief. You cannot prove a knowing. It's just simply, it is, and that's all there is to it. I can't explain why this happens. I just know it's right.
Right. Beautiful. Well, you know, it's interesting. I just want to make a comment to folks. If you call back in, that does not move you further up in the queue. But area code 520, I'm coming to you. And at the very moment I looked at your number, it said 3333. So that must mean that you're an ascended master in the making, because 33 means ascended master. Okay, here we come. Area code 520, you're live on the air. What is your name, please?
Oh, wow. Hello?
Yes, it's you. You're the lucky one. What's your name, please?
You know, my call dropped, and then I
is this Diana?
No. No.
Oh, it dropped. Well, you know, that happens too. That's very annoying. And thank God you came back in, because it did maintain your place in the queue.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So,
what is your name?
How are you? And
Risa,
what's your name?
Thank you. Risa, thank you.
Oh.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. I'm sorry. I wondered what you saw as far as my family member is going through a very difficult time. And on Wednesday morning, I'll be talking to them. And I'm just wondering what you see in regard to that.
Is the family member with you?
No.
Or far away from you?
Far away.
A male or female?
Male.
Is this a father figure?
No. Oh, no. No.
I don't mean is he your father. I mean, is this a person that whom you respect?
Well, the difficulty that he finds himself in, you know, I'm kind of baffled by why he would be in that kind of difficulty. So I'm not sure I have a lot of respect for him right now.
I believe that he has encountered one of those configurations where something that happened in a past life, in another lifetime, has almost rematerialized. The same kind of energy is going on, and he has surrendered to something that is unresolved conflicts in his core consciousness.
And yeah.
It is totally unusually for, and what I see the respect. There was respect, tremendous respect, and you're questioning it now. Is
well,
that right?
I always try to respect him. I always try
okay.
to look at the bright side, and I always try to, you know, and I would express that I had respect for him, but, you know, I was always trying to believe in the best.
So you tried to talk yourself into thinking he was something that he wasn't?
No, I knew that there were difficulties. I just was trying to be his cheering team as long as he, and also trying to encourage him, you know, to work on himself.
Well, he needs to deal with this himself. And the way he deals with it will depend upon his future. And there's nothing you can really do about it except love him no matter what.
Yeah.
When if you try to judge him, it's going to be awkward for both of you.
Yeah.
When you in the past, when you tried to elevate his opinion of himself, how did he respond?
He was always cut off from me. You know, he always just closed off from me. So there really wasn't much of a response at all.
Okay. I think probably because deep inside he knew that he was not what you were saying he was.
You know, that could be. That could be.
So, and in a way, I think you're torturing him by trying to force him into being something that he is not.
Yeah,
so,
I pointed out the things that were factual. You know, all
mm-hmm.
the things that were factual. And I said, these are okay. things that I think are pretty wonderful that you've done. And they were, it
mm-hmm.
was fact. It wasn't
yeah.
anything like made up or anything like that. That's
mm-hmm.
where I would go with it. And I didn't, I mean, I knew that there were struggles, but I didn't, you know.
I don't think that he has fully accepted who he really is.
Yeah.
And that is something you cannot do for him.
No, no, I know.
What you can do is simply you can pray that that the very best thing that he is capable of receiving will happen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you can pray that he will be able to enjoy life more. So that is what I think. He doesn't enjoy life.
No, no, he doesn't. Uh-uh.
At all.
Uh-uh. No, he doesn't. Or
He's far away from you physically.
Yeah.
But he's also far away from you mentally.
Yeah.
He would rather you let him be.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do right now. All you except pray and send him love.
Yeah.
That is your job here.
Yeah.
And just once in a while think about him and say, you know, just send loving energy to him. And
you know,
let him be.
That's basically, I've gone through this too many times with him, and I'm now programming and falling into what you're describing. I don't live it. I don't torture myself with it. I just, when I think of him, I send him God's love.
Yeah. Mm. What you need to do is to admit to yourself that what you have been doing isn't working. So when you know that things are not working in your life, just stop them. Why keep doing the same wrong thing over and over and over again that's not working?
Right. And it doesn't help. I don't see the situation resolved if I'm torturing myself. I don't see any payback on it at all from anywhere.
So think about all of the things that you could have done in the time that you wasted worrying about this relative. Okay?
Yeah.
Put your energy where it works.
Yeah.
Give your energy to people who appreciate you.
Yeah.
Stop beating your head against a concrete wall. All you'll get from that is a bloody forehead.
Right.
Mm.
Right.
Okay?
Right. No, I totally agree.
But you must not have any guilt about this, because you have done much more than most anybody who knows.
Yeah.
So do you understand that God does not expect any more from you than your best?
Right.
People do. But
there you go.
But God does not expect any more from you than your very best.
Absolutely.
Okay? When you know you've done your best, let it go. Let it go.
Yeah.
That's beautiful advice.
Yeah.
Has that helped you?
It's been kind of along the lines of what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like your own intuition is being validated by what Mary is saying. And therefore,
very often what we need in life is confirmation. We already know it, but we need somebody else to say, yes, you are right.
I totally agree with you. Well, thank you so much for calling in tonight. Was it Lisa?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
God bless you, dear.
And just look in the mirror and say, I did my best.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah.
You're the only one who can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, have a beautiful night. Okay, and please feel free to tune in again sometime. I'll have Mary back. Okay, and you can report on the situation. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
So, Mary, that was wonderful advice, and I think that applies to so many people who are in situations where they have been beating their head against the figurative wall and who have done their best to try to reach out to somebody who just is not approachable anymore. And I don't know what you think, and we can wrap this up in just a moment. I thank you for your time. I think that it's important for us when we're reflecting back, because there's a tendency to beat ourselves up about our past efforts, to affirm that, you know, God not only gives us any more than we can handle, but that we actually have done the best each step of the way. That's not to say we couldn't do better, but don't you believe it's important to affirm that whatever has come to pass, whatever we've done in the past, has been our best?
Yes, and I'm feeling tremendous energy from some people that wanted to ask me about things that had happened in the past to them, and what I need to give them a rule of thumb.
Good.
No matter what happened to you in the past, no matter how painful it was, stop and say to yourself, is it happening now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Anything else you'd like to add, or that Stardust would like to add?
Stardust is saying you have more in you than you know, and you have more chances to use it than you ever notice.
Uh-huh. Well, that is beautiful. And I'd like to thank the last remaining caller, who is my friend Patricia. God bless you. God love you. I love you. And Mary, thank you so much.
I suspect that what I just gave was something that Patricia can use.
Perhaps it was. And so with
among
that said,
among some of the other listeners, okay.
Right, I hear
but
you.
Just remember, is it happening now?
Yes.
You may have had a big fight with somebody 20 years ago, but they're not fighting you now.
Mm.
You may
right.
have lost you may have lost money, or you may have been hurt by somebody, but they're not hurting you now. They have no power over you now. And yet, if you continue to it's almost like picking a scab, you know? So that it bleeds again, and then it bleeds again, and then it scabs over, and it bleeds again. So when you have painful events from your lifetime, remember to stop and ask yourself: Is it happening to me now?
Wonderful advice, wonderful suggestion for us all, and once again, as Mary has said, and what I encourage people to do, is always keep an open mind. That's the gateway to understanding. That's the gateway to opening up your spiritual gifts. And that's the gateway to connecting with other people.
Absolutely.
So,
and all I would like to say is love and light.
Love and light, eternally yours. So thanks, Mary.
Many, many blessings. And let's give thanks for the miracles that happened this evening.
There have been many. And now we come to a close. Let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. to find common ground and take it to the next level here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.
Also on freespiritbroadcasting.com, and I'm now broadcasting on Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and Friday. Good night and God bless.